Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book Tavistock Institute: Social Engineering the Masses by Daniel Estulin. Is a polemical nonfiction book that examines the Tavistock Institute as a hidden force in modern social control. Framed as an exposé rather than a conventional academic history, it argues that psychological research, media influence, and cultural manipulation have been used to shape public opinion and direct collective behavior. Estulin presents the Institute as a key node in a broader system involving elites, institutions, and communication channels that can steer societies without overt coercion. The book is aimed at readers interested in political manipulation, mass psychology, and alternative interpretations of recent history. Its purpose is not simply to describe an organization, but to warn readers about the methods by which attitudes, preferences, and social norms can be engineered. As a result, the book sits at the intersection of investigative commentary, conspiracy-oriented analysis, and critique of institutional power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the Tavistock Institute as a model of hidden social control. The central claim of the book is that the Tavistock Institute represents more than an ordinary research body. Estulin treats it as a symbol of how social science can be converted into a tool for influence and behavioral management. Rather than presenting policy or culture as the result of open democratic debate, the book argues that elites can shape outcomes indirectly by studying how groups respond to messaging, stress, and repetition. This framing gives the Institute a strategic importance. It is not only studying society, but helping design the conditions under which society can be guided. That idea is the foundation of the book's wider argument about modern power, where control is often psychological rather than physical, and where institutions can influence populations while remaining largely invisible to them. Secondly, psychological warfare and the engineering of mass behavior. A major theme in the book is the use of psychological methods to alter public behavior on a larger scale. Estulin connects the idea of social engineering with wartime research, propaganda, and experiments in group influence, suggesting that techniques developed for conflict later migrated into civilian life. In this view, modern societies are vulnerable because human choices are shaped by perception and social pressure more than by pure rationality. The book emphasizes that if institutions understand fear, identity, and conformity, they can redirect collective behavior without direct force. This is one of the book's most important mechanisms. It explains control as an applied psychology of the masses. Whether readers accept the broader thesis or not, the book clearly argues that managing belief systems is often more effective than controlling events openly. Thirdly, media, culture, and everyday channels of influence. Estulin argues that social engineering works best when it is embedded in ordinary cultural life rather than presented as propaganda in an obvious form. The book discusses familiar channels such as television, music, drugs, and other forms of mass culture as potential instruments for shaping attitudes and normalizing certain behaviors. The underlying idea is that repeated exposure to symbols, narratives, and lifestyles can gradually redirect what people regard as normal, desirable, or acceptable. This topic matters because it shifts the discussion from overt politics to daily environment. Instead of seeing manipulation only in elections or policy campaigns, the book suggests that cultural production itself can become a method of governance that broadens the meaning of power. Influence is not limited to governments, but can flow through entertainment, consumer culture, and the institutions that define public taste. Fourthly, elite networks, institutions, and coordinated influence. Another key dimension of the book is its focus on interconnected elites and institutions that allegedly collaborate to shape society. Estulin links the Tavistock Institute to broader networks involving finance, corporations, government, and intellectual professionals. The significance of this framework is that it portrays social control as systemic rather than isolated. In other words, the book does not present manipulation as the work of a single organization acting alone, but as a coordinated ecosystem in which research, funding, policy, and messaging reinforce one another. This helps explain why the book appeals to readers skeptical of official narratives. It offers a structure for understanding how influence can appear decentralized while still producing consistent outcomes. Even so, the book's core concern is less about proving one conspiracy than about arguing that institutional alliances can create durable patterns of control across society. Lastly, awareness and resistance to subtle manipulation. The practical function of the book is to encourage suspicion of easy narratives and greater awareness of how beliefs are formed. Estulin repeatedly implies that once readers understand the mechanisms of social engineering, they can become less vulnerable to manipulation. This does not produce a detailed program for political reform, but it does promote a defensive mindset, examine media critically, question emotional framing, and notice how institutions shape consent. In that sense, the book is as much a warning as an argument. Its value for readers lies in forcing attention onto the hidden assumptions behind public life, especially the possibility that normal social experience may be structured by unseen interests. The book stands out because it combines historical speculation, institutional critique, and psychological analysis into one narrative of influence and vulnerability. In conclusion, this book will appeal most to readers interested in political psychology, media influence, alternative history, and critiques of institutional power. It is especially suited to those who are already curious about how propaganda, cultural messaging, and behavioral science can be used to shape public opinion. Forsook readers, the main benefit is not a neutral institutional history, but a provocative framework for thinking about how modern societies may be managed through indirect influence rather than open authority. Even readers who disagree with its larger claims may still find value in the way it links psychology, mass communication, and elite coordination into a single explanatory model. Compared with more conventional books on social influence, it stands out for its explicitly conspiratorial lens and its effort to connect technical ideas about group behavior to broad questions of freedom and democracy. That combination makes it distinctive within the category of political exposé. It is less interested in cautious analysis than in arguing that hidden systems of persuasion are already embedded in everyday life. For readers seeking a controversial but focused challenge to mainstream assumptions, it offers a forceful and memorable entry point. If you would like to support Daniel Esteline, PhD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.